Please take a hymnal this evening and let's turn together to 512. 512, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. 512. Five. This is an opportunity for all of you basses, those of you with low down voices, to come through in the chorus when we sing those extra lines. So you do that if you can, please. 345, A New Name in Glory. Standing, please, to sing.
Thank you.
wanting to dwell in heaven when we get to that stanza. So this last time through, we will do that when we go to the refrain. In the book, it is written.
Amen. What a wonderful opportunity to sing God's praise. Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 9. Each month we seek to memorize a portion of Scripture, and we trust that these are verses that will be very inspirational and helpful and a good reminder to you. So as we read these verses, please seek to try to apply them to your memory if they are not already there. If you would then cite this reference with me, and then these verses. Together, Psalm 9, 1 and 2. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. We welcome you this evening to Hampton Park Baptist Church. Many of you have been regularly attending for years, but especially during this Christmas season, and we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here. Many of you were away, and especially our students at Bob Jones University and others that may have just returned. We welcome you. And some of you tonight may be here actually for the very first time, or it's been quite a while since you've been here, and we'd like to just ask you to please take a few minutes. There's a visitor's card in the pew rack right in front of where you're seated. Take that card and then fill that out, if you would, and put it in the offering plate as it passes, and we would be very privileged to be able to note that you're here, and that if there's anything we can do to assist, we would be most honored. Thank you for your attendance. Trust the Lord continues to work in and through you as you're here.
There are a number of good Spanish ministries in town, but some folks have expressed an interest in starting one here. And if you'd be interested in that at all, either working in it or you know somebody that could come, I'd like to have a short meeting right after the service tonight in A202, which is just across the hall here out the door at the organ. Next Sunday night after the service, we'd like to have a meeting of our ushers and those who pass out bulletins at the beginning of the service, and that will also be in A202, but that's a week from tonight, not tonight. We have our annual blood drive coming up, February the 3rd. We need 80 people to sign up, and as of this morning, only 18 have signed up, but the sooner you sign up, the more likely you are to get the time that's most convenient for you to come. Many of you are regulars in this. Some of you have never given your blood, and you'd consider doing it. This is a community project. We all can benefit from it. So remember to sign up back in the ministry area. This is for February the 3rd. Other announcements in the bulletin that I just would ask you to give your attention to, and again, I want to express appreciation for the special Christmas offering, which enabled us to give the bonus to the faculty and staff that we desired to give them. Also, something for the new activity center, and then to send $6,800 to EBM toward the van for the Don Harrises in Argentina. As I said this morning, if you'd like to contribute more to this van project, they need about $11,000, I think, in order to go ahead and purchase the van. If you'd like to help with that, of course, you can do that by designated giving. Our goal is to have $1.3 million on hand for the activity center by the 1st of June or latter part of May. In order to do that, we need about $40,000 a month. Now, that isn't going to happen very, just normally. If we receive that, it's going to be because you've prayed and searched your heart, and others have done the same, and the Lord leads to give toward that project. Even if we can have the funds ahead of time, that would be very helpful. We have $1.1 million now, so we have $200,000 to go. Of course, we have our regular budget needs that go on week by week. January is normally a tight month, and that was shown in the offering last Sunday. But we trust we're going to get back on track here very, very soon and appreciate your giving tonight. A number of prayer requests. Wesley Mason, former member of our church, and he was taken to the hospital this morning. His wife couldn't get him awakened. And so let's pray for Wesley Mason, who's in St. Francis Hospital. He's on a feeding tube and is in quite critical condition, I believe. Joe Allen remains in St. Francis Hospital, making some progress, for which we are grateful. Jim Martin still remains at Barge. Let's keep on praying for his rehabilitation. For Manette Eberline, who's in Greenville Memorial, still in much pain and discomfort. As a result of having her big toe on one foot amputated, and the incision there is still not healing. So pray to that end. Pray again for Cindy Summer, who's recuperating from surgery at home. Carl Erickson is now at home. Mitch Nichols had an appendectomy on Monday. Let's pray for his full recovery. And Joshua Langford had a tonsillectomy on Friday. Also, I want to remember Mildred Ayers, whose brother-in-law, Arnold Norris, passed away. And then Nancy Lee Urich has asked us to pray for her uncle, Martin Cheatham, who's in critical condition in the hospital down in Charleston. We have other folks, too. We have a lot of folks that are ill with colds and flu and bronchitis and such as that. So let's remember all who have physical needs. The Lord has been good to us in ministering to our needs, and He continually does that. And when these times that we need some special help come, it's great to be able to depend upon the Lord to undertake for us. Also, Mary Catherine Pulius is confined to home for 2 weeks because of a severe case of bronchitis. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and get in place to receive our offering for this evening. Again, we want to pray for ourselves as we're gathered here tonight that God would use this as a special time to speak to our hearts and to challenge us. Pastor Alston is going to lead us in our prayer, but before he does, he has an announcement.
We haven't mentioned anything about the new move-in map back in the corner of the ministry area. We have that map pretty well full of pins again. These pins each represent, well, for the most part, there are mistakes every once in a while, but for the most part, people who have recently bought a house at that location. Sometimes these people have been there and there's just been a change of title somehow, and maybe they've lived there for a little while. But most of these people have just moved into this house. Some have moved from out of town. Some have moved from across town. But all of them, as Pastor has reminded us in the past, are open to people coming by to say hello or to send them something in the mail, which we do. And if you go by, find a pin that's someplace near to your home, and given where most of our people live and given where most of those pins are, there's bound to be a pin somewhere near your house within half a mile anyway. Go by and see if there isn't somebody that's just moved in who isn't too far from you. Take one, and we'll help you get that little address put onto a visitor's card. You can go out and see them. We'll give you a little packet of information to take. Even if they aren't home, you'll be successful, because what we want to do is to make sure that they know that we know they're here, and we'd like them to know that we, Hampton Park, are here and they can come and visit us if they'd like. Go by and check that out as you leave the service this evening. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the opportunity to pray that we can come and know without any doubt that the Creator God, the Sovereign King of the universe, is listening, is an awesome, awesome privilege and promise. We've read and heard it said that Satan fears us very little until we're on our knees claiming the promises in the blood of Christ, and then he is powerless. So thank you, Father, that we can come so freely, so boldly into your presence in prayer. We bring to you again these who are sick. We think of Jim Martin and the long, long road he has held in his fight against this cancer, and still the road is long. We thank you for his spirit, and we thank you for all you have done for him. Undertake for him and for his family as they continue to look to you for healing, for grace and peace. We ask you to undertake for Joe Allen. He's also been through a good bit, Father, and is having some difficulty with this procedure. So guide him, give him healing, we ask. For Mrs. Pulius, for Mrs. Eberline, we pray your blessing upon them. For Mr. Cheatham down in Charleston, that you'll work in him and let your word do its work of peace in his heart. We ask for ourselves this evening, not only as this offering of worship to you is given, but as we worship in song, as we worship you in the preaching, and as we hear from you through your servant, might our hearts be open to you, and might you use what we gain here this evening to change us so we can be more like Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, save me, Lord.
We've been singing and hearing many songs tonight about the blood and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and our wonderful salvation. We're grateful for the ministry of the choir. We thank Becca Grove for her beautiful offertory for us this evening. Now it's time once again for us to sing, so take your hymnal, please. Let's turn together to 231. 231. Once again, focusing on our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed Redeemer of Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn. 231, shall we stand, please, to sing once again. That last stanza, and then let's go to the parts when we get to the chorus. You may be seated.
For those who are listening to this via radio, this is Hampton Park Baptist Church. This evening, our pastor, Dr. David Yurick, will be bringing our message. And right before he does, Dave Christ will be blessing us with a special number in song. Let's go to the Lord in prayer prior to our message conclusion here. Father, as we come before you, as has already been prayed, it's such a privilege, such an opportunity, such a wonderful beginning of this coming week in our life that we would be reminded in our hearts, we would be encouraged in our lifestyle to match Jesus Christ. That's difficult if we try to do it in our own strength. And Lord, I pray as a result of our time here tonight, we'd be reminded again of the importance of placing our hope and our trust, our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ, and asking Him to help us to lead lives that would reveal Christ in and through us. May you bless as the service continues, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
My heart is thrilled whenever I think of heaven's glory fair, and all the countless blessings that the saints redeemed shall share. But oh, the crowning blessing of that promised life above will be to dwell with Christ my Lord, the Savior.
banquet hall, to be with him will crown it all. I'm grateful for the rich rewards that faithful ones will share, for joys and pleasures all divine awaiting over there. For that bright city built for us, where angel music rings, I praise the Lord for all of these. But still my glad heart sings, to be with him will crown it all. Him fall, to feast within his banquet hall, to be with him will crown it all.
Thank Dave for this great message and song. Unless something unforeseen happens, before we meet again next Sunday, we will have a new president of the United States. And I'm certain the majority of us here are hoping that President Bush and his new administration are going to bring some fresh air to the scene in Washington, D.C. Now, I believe we're familiar with the many verses in the Bible that instruct us concerning our responsibilities to our country and its leaders. But let's just look at these briefly, at least some of them. First of all, in Matthew chapter 22. And if you have your Bible, I hope you'll turn to these scriptures with me. Matthew chapter 22 says in verse 16, "And there went out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar, or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness, and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money, or the tax money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And that's one of the principles that we seek to follow in our country as Christians, that we do render proper due unto our government, but we also render proper due unto our God. Turn over to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Looking at verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or condemnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For for this cause pay ye tribute or taxes also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. And several times it's pointed out here that our leaders are servants of God. Over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. I'm sorry, I said 1 Timothy, and I turned to 2 Timothy. So go back with me to 1 Timothy. That's what I want. Now, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Emphasis here is on praying. And then to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Looking at verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The Bible provides no excuse for us to be disinterested and unconcerned about our government and whatever level it may be, local to national. It's certainly a sad day when the outgoing president of our country has unkind things to say about the incoming president. And President Clinton, in my estimation, continues to show himself as a very proud and wicked man. And someday, somewhere, somehow, he's going to get his just dessert. And it won't be ice cream and cake. Now, whether there was some backtracking or submitting to pressure this week in regard to Linda Chavez is a matter of interpretation. Some people say it was giving in. Other people have other ideas. But regardless of what was behind it, it certainly has encouraged the opponents to John Ashcroft's nomination as Attorney General to step up their attacks against him. And we really need to pray much for him as he has his confirmation meetings this week, or hearings this week, beginning on Tuesday. Pray that he'll stand firm to his testimony of salvation, faith in Christ. I hope he'll be led to read 1 Peter. I don't know a better book in the Bible he could read. Has some tremendous verses for him. Let's look at 1 Peter again and just point out some of these verses that I think were very apropos for Senator Ashcroft. Chapter 1, verse 5, speaking of us who are saved, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, that now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And he's going to go through some manifold testings. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. He's been a man who's been characterized by well-doing. And I trust that this will put to silence those who are ignorant of this man and who he really is and what he really stands for. Looking at verse 19, this same chapter. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Just over to the next chapter, the 14th verse. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Need to pray, you'll have a ready answer, right answer, when the questions are fired at him. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Chapter 4, something in every chapter here. Looking at verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Can't understand this man. Seems to be living a righteous life. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And I think this is what is happening. He's being reproached because he names the name of Jesus Christ. This and all these other things. They might use those as excuses and reasons. I believe it's because he has the testimony of being a born-again Christian with faith in Christ. And then in chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I'd like to commend Dr. Bob Jones for his appearance on Friday night, what he had to say, and he said he doesn't like to be involved in controversy. But these two times on that Larry King program certainly gave him an opportunity to give the gospel to a nationwide audience. Probably more people heard that than might hear him and all of the preaching and traveling that he does in his ministry. And I'm not saying that God ordered President Reagan to fall and break his hip, but it certainly took the attention away from John Ashcroft. The whole weekend would have been taken up with just things about him. But because President Reagan fell, so much time now on the news has been given to him, as it ought to be. So I'm not saying the Lord caused that fall, but the Lord has certainly used that fall to take away some of the attention to Senator Ashcroft. I'm not as fearful of Senator Ashcroft backing down as I am that the president might do so. He has a lot of pressure on him from many different sides. He's already said he wants to get along with everybody, which really is impossible. You try to please everybody, as you've heard it said, you don't please anybody. So pray he'll stand firm in these positions that he has taken. And we also need to be praying for our new president's personal safety, that God would take care of him and keep him by his power during his time in office. Some are bringing up again the so-called zero-year White House death curse. The zero-year White House death curse. This is based on the fact that beginning with the election of William Harrison in 1840, all presidents elected in the years ending in zero have died in office except 1. Abraham Lincoln, elected 1860, assassinated 1865. James Garfield, elected 1880, assassinated 1881. William McKinley, elected 1900, assassinated 1901. Warren Harding, elected 1920, died from food poisoning while in office, 1923. Franklin Roosevelt, first elected in 1932, but reelected in 1940, died of a stroke. John Kennedy, elected in 1960, assassinated in 1963. Ronald Reagan, elected in 1980, survived assassination attempt in 1981. He is the only one of the last 7 or 8 presidents that has survived in office, having been elected in the year ending in 0. Now, what's behind this cycle of tragedies? Research by the Intercessors for America has uncovered an account that says this curse was placed by Native American chiefs and medicine men in retaliation for the confiscation of land, the breaking of solemn commitments and treaties by the U.S. government, and related massacres. Shawnee warrior and prophet Tenskwatawa, I can't hardly pronounce it. I practiced it all day, so I get it for you. Tenskwatawa, brother of Tecumseh, the chief of the Shawnees, is said to have proclaimed a death curse upon then General Harrison after he and a tribal alliance were defeated in 1911. Native American lore records that this man decreed Harrison would one day be chosen as a great white chief, but that he would die in office, and after him, every great white chief chosen every 20 years thereafter will die. General Harrison was elected president in 1840, died shortly after taking the oath of office in January 1841. Now, whether this be true or merely folklore, or whether we believe it or not, believe in the power of such a curse if it was given, we know the devil can use the existence of this story and of this matter to his advantage by stirring up someone for any number of reasons, for some just to see if it can be done, to seek to kill the president and to revive this so-called curse that existed for these years. Now, thankfully, the string of deaths was broken by President Reagan, but he came very close to joining in death the previous 7 before him who were elected in a 0 year. The bullet that struck him in 1981 was very close to his heart. In a book that's written by his son Michael, he states in there that the bullet was only 1/4 inch from entering his heart. Had it done that, he too would have died from assassination. Now, could it be that intercessory prayer, the intercession of God's people for him prior to that time, during the time he was in the hospital, and during the time of his recovery, that hindered Satan in his efforts to keep the cycle going? I believe prayer had a lot to do with that. Now, just because it was broken in 1981 after President Reagan survived it doesn't mean that the devil won't try to revise it during the term of President Bush. I think it is a very real danger, not because the curse was spoken, not because it may or may not be true, but the story is going around. It's being published in magazines, newspapers, email, and the story is there, and some irresponsible person reading that story, maybe wanting to make a name for himself or having hatred for the president or, say, just taking a dare, could very well say, well, I'll see that curse is enacted again and go out and try to destroy our president. As we think again about the verses we read earlier concerning our responsibility to government, there are 3 things that are primary in our responsibility to government. First of all, is that a matter of pay. Not the pay that we receive from the government, but the pay that we give to the government. Remember Jesus back there in Matthew said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." Taxes belong to Caesar. They belong to our government. And he told those who heard him at that time to pay their taxes. In Romans 13, 6 and 7, talks about paying tribute, again, paying taxes. And in 1 Peter 3, honor all men. Honor the king. Here is paying respect to, if not the person in the office, paying respect at least to the office which the person holds. So pay. That is our responsibility as members of this country, as citizens of the United States of America. We don't like the taxes. We'd rather not pay all the taxes we have to pay. We'd rather not have to work 5 months out of the year just to pay our taxes. And I think we all would like to see a tax reduction. We'd like to see a break in our taxes. That may or may not come. But whether it comes or not, let's remember this is a responsibility that we find in the Word of God to pay what we owe our government. The second thing that is our responsibility is that of obey. Obey. Romans 13, 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And it says in Romans 13, 5, that you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. And 1 Peter 2, 13, submit yourself to every ordinance of man. And the question always comes up, well, what about Peter in Acts where he was taken into custody and forbidden to preach the gospel? And he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And at such time as our laws restrict us in serving God and knowing Him and serving Him and having a testimony for Him, until that time comes, we ought to obey the laws of the land. We may not like them, and there's some bad, bad laws. But if they're law, and we've heard over and over again in weeks gone by, our nation is a nation governed by law. Hasn't always been carried out that way, I'm afraid, but that's what we're to be, a nation of laws. And God has given to you and me as Christians here in this world, even though we're just passing through, and we're looking for that better city to come. While we're here, we are to obey unless the law forbids us or keeps us from obeying God. Our obedience to God must come first, but then obedience to government. And then the third thing is pray. Look again here at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. Very well-known verses. Where Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Those are various types of prayer. But then he says, for kings, that is for leaders in particular, and for all that are in authority. We're to pay, we're to obey, and we are to pray. And I believe the tremendous need before us this week is that for prayer. For the incoming administration, for all those who will be taking part in the new government, and for those who will be departing as well, if they won't make a nuisance of themselves. But they'll willingly leave and let the others who've been now put into office and put into positions carry on their work. Let's bow now for a word of prayer for our country. Father, what a privilege it is for us to live in these United States of America. Some here tonight are not citizens of this country. They're only here for a time. But most of us are. Most of us We're born in this country, and we've grown up in it. We plan to be a part of it until we die. But Lord, our country has gone so far astray. We're in a moral decline. Seems to be getting worse every day. And Lord, thou dost know this better than we do. But we come to thee tonight with thanksgiving for your blessings. And Lord, we want to be obedient to your word, to pay what we need to pay, to obey the laws that we need to obey. But we come now to pray. We do pray that nothing unforeseen will happen this week that would mar the inauguration of our incoming president. Lord, that thou wouldst hinder the devil as he would try. And we know some have said they're going to have a counter inauguration. But Lord, may their efforts be thwarted by thy power as it pleases thee. And we do pray that you'll give safety to the president-elect and his wife, to the vice president-elect and his wife, and to all the others. Lord, a lot of possibilities of danger during the inauguration and all that is involved with it. And we call upon thee tonight as a fellowship of people here in the name of Jesus Christ, praying, Father, that you will undertake. And Lord, we pray that you'll keep our president not only safe physically, but as he has professed to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, may he stay on track spiritually. And help him to recognize that his spiritual person is more important than anything else. May he have a testimony. Lord, we do pray for the confirmation of Senator Ashcroft. We prayed long for men of a stature of a Daniel or a Joseph to be the president's inner circle. And we're not saying that Senator Ashcroft is a person like Joseph, doesn't have that strength or that godliness. But Lord, he is one who professes you as Savior. And we believe he could have a real influence upon the president, upon the cabinet. And there are others there, too, that have a testimony of being saved. So, Lord, may their testimony not be hid in a closet. May they not put it under a bushel. But may they be willing to set it upon a hill. And even though they'll be criticized, and even though they'll be mistreated, may they keep their candle of testimony upon a hill for all to see. And help us to do that, Father. Help us not to be ashamed of the fact that we are Christians, that we believe the Bible. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can talk about God, our Father, today, but when we talk about thy Son, the Lord Jesus, that brings so much ridicule. But we know one day he's going to be reigning as our King, and he's going to be in control of this universe forever and ever as he is now, but it'll be in complete control then with no nations, no governments, no leaders rebelling against him. So once again, we thank you for this opportunity to share in a special time in our nation. And we look for you to undertake in a very, very definite way for the events of this coming week. For Jesus' sake, amen. How many of you would promise to pray every day this week for our country and our leaders? All right. I trust we'll remember that. I always like to take an opportunity to remind you about Prayer Time for America on Wednesday morning. We've been praying there for quite a number of years now. And as I told you before, anything good that happens in our country, we're responsible for it. Anything bad that happens, you all are responsible for it who don't come. No, we just consider it a real opportunity to go before the Lord in prayer. If it's something you can work into your schedule, you'd be blessed by it. We'd be blessed by having you there 7 o'clock Wednesday morning in the Activity Center. We're not going to have a regular invitation tonight, but while we sing this closing song, if you have a need in your heart that you'd like to bring, we'd be here to welcome you and to receive you. Maybe it's for salvation. Maybe it's for some other need in your heart. Maybe it's for the matter of church membership, and we invite you to come. Let's stand together, and we'll sing all four verses of 595, My Country, 'Tis of Thee.